Hey, Hicken here. Thanks for checking out the 1010XL On Demand. It's brought to you by Kuhn Flowers, locations on Beach Boulevard and in Ponte Vedra. Kuhn Flowers wants to be your florist.
Oklahoma wideout D.D. Westbrook filling the vacancy created by former Sooner and current Giant Sterling Shepard quite nicely. When you watch him, what stands out to you on film?
Jay, it stands out that he's the best receiver in America.
With the 110th pick in the 2017 NFL Draft, the Jaguars select D.D. Westbrook, wide receiver, Oklahoma.
Fires the deep ball for Westbrook.
D.D. Westbrook back deep for the Sooners. In from his own 29. Watch out. Westbrook. He's got great speed. D.D. Westbrook has taken this one to the house.
Going deep, and Westbrook is open. On the money. Touchdown. What an answer.
That is every safety's nightmare, being left one-on-one with the most dangerous wide receiver in college football.
Live from TIAA Bank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your host, Tony Smith.
Oh, you remember yesterday when we asked in the fan feedback spotlight what is the biggest storyline heading into Jaguars minicamp? Well, it turns out there's a right answer.
Oh, yeah.
And everybody else's answers were wrong.
Everybody's wrong.
Like, everyone might have, like, some of you might have turned in answers saying, I think it's going to be the wide receiver group and just how well Nick Foles gels with those wide receivers and Nick Foles in general and maybe some other things that were going on with this football team. But as it turns out, the correct answer is and was the deal with Yannick Ngakoue. As I thought that he would wind up reporting as of yesterday morning for the mandatory minicamp, based on what he had to say before he left the voluntary portion of the offseason after he had come in for a few days. I thought that he would be here for this week. He's not. Obviously, Yannick Ngakoue sending out a statement yesterday. I will not be attending minicamp as my contract has not been resolved. I remain committed to Jax, the fans, and my teammates. My hope is to be with Jacksonville for years to come. And that's kind of how I feel like my hope in this thing being resolved is that it gets resolved with Yannick Ngakoue signing a contract that's going to keep him with Jacksonville for years to come. I've been saying for a few weeks now that my gut was that this wasn't going to get done until after the season. This is the only move that Yannick Ngakoue had that I felt like could put any pressure. It's the only leverage he has in this situation is to withhold services for the moment and hope that that is what will get the team talking more about getting this long-term deal done. There's nothing else he can do. And I do wonder, and we'll take your phone calls today if you want to get in and respond to what's going on with Yannick. Obviously, the question of the day today, it's a pretty simple one. You know, what is your reaction to Yannick Ngakoue saying he's not going to be here for the mandatory minicamp? And there have been, the majority of the reaction I've gotten has basically been pay him, you know, which is refreshing to see. Considering how these things usually work, it does feel like for players, when they're willing to take this kind of stand, once it gets started getting fought in the media at all, like in the public perception, that players get knocked a lot for these kinds of things, right? The idea of holding your services so that you can get more money. I do wonder, and again, I've been pleasantly surprised by how many people have just been saying, pay Yannick Ngakoue, he deserves it, he's earned it. You know, he certainly outplayed his rookie deal, and Yannick Ngakoue has outplayed his rookie deal to this point. And we do get the occasional still, you signed a contract, you live up to the contract. Teams don't live up to contracts. Look, professional sports contracts are made to be torn apart. I mean, that's just what they are. They don't even, when the team signed these guys, the back end of these deals, the way that they're structured now, it's basically a five-year deal that's really a two-year deal. Is the way that they put these things together so that they can tear it apart after year two and have nothing. Like, they're not on the line for anything when that big money starts coming due for a lot of these guys so they can get out from underneath it. Should teams be honoring those? Like, for the fans that are out there saying he should honor the contract, should teams be paying Malik Jackson this year? Like, should Jacksonville just have to pay him? Do fans feel that way about it? I do wonder, too. I know and I understand the inclination when this kind of situation comes up for the immediate reaction to be, I don't want to listen to millionaires bicker about how many millions they're going to get, right? Like, I understand that inclination, but I turn that around and say most of us don't live in a world, the 99.9% of everyone who's ever walked the earth has never had to deal with this situation. But let's say you could wave a magic wand and all of a sudden whatever your profession is becomes as valuable as an athlete becomes, right? Like, let's, I don't know, pick one, you know, Emmanuel, just pick a job, right? Like, say it's welders, okay? Welders. All right, all of a sudden welders are, there's not enough of them. There's only, say there's only 200 people on the planet that can do the job of welding at a proficient level. Okay, there's only 200 of you that can do it at a level that is worthy of even calling yourself a welder. So all of a sudden, you're one of 200. Now, beyond the one of 200, let's say you're one of the 30 or so that do it at an exceptional level, right? So, and the people that are doing it at the exceptional level, let's say the average welder is getting $50,000 a year. Let's say the welders that are doing it at an exceptional level are getting $500,000 and more a year. They're making 10 times more than the people that just do the job good enough. But the ones that do it at the highest level, they're getting 10 times more than that. Anyone out there who tells me if they were one of those welders that was making the 50 and had the opportunity to get the 500, that they'd be happy showing up for work to make the 50, you're lying. Flat out, you're lying. There's no way you'd be happy doing it. No way. Yannick Ngakoue is getting set to go into this season. I get it. He's in the fourth year of his rookie deal. It would be nice if everyone was happy with the situation and he was just showing up and things were going on business as usual. The truth of the matter is Yannick Ngakoue is set to play for basically 10% of his worth this season. That's what they're asking him to do. And I understand from a team perspective why they've been willing to stand this ground. I can even understand when you look at it and say, well, we have him in the fourth year of his rookie deal and we can put the franchise tag on him. So basically it's $20.5 million over the next 2 years. Then figure out a way to structure a new contract where you're paying Yannick Ngakoue about $20.5 million over the course of the next 2 years and then the big money comes in. Like, there's a way to do it if you're the Jacksonville Jaguars to make it happen. I've said since this entire thing started becoming a story, and my bottom line feeling on it is still the same. This is a Jaguars team that, since Shaq Khan has gotten here, one of the things that you can't say about him, and there was a time where you could say it about the Jaguars franchise, but something you can't say about him now is that they're cheap. They're not. They're not cheap. They extended Brandon Linder. They extended Telvin Smith. They extended Allen Hurns. They extended Blake Bortles. And they did all those deals before they had to. They did them because they felt like those players deserved that money. They went out and they spent the big money to go get Calais Campbell. They spent the big money to go get A.J. Boye. They spent the big money to go get Tashaun Gibson. They spend the money. They go get their guys. They traded for Marcell Dareus a couple years ago, knowing what that contract looked like. They've been willing to splash that money around. It's not about that. So with that in my mind, I look at it and say, if there was not a plan in place from a front office perspective, that if Yannick Ngakoue and Miles Jack and Jalen Ramsey, and Yannick and Jalen more so than Miles Jack even because of the position that those two guys play, but if there wasn't a plan in place where financially you knew what you could do to make sure that you were going to hold on to these guys, then what's the point? Like, I do have serious questions about a front office if there was no plan for how to make that happen. Because Yannick Ngakoue has clearly outplayed his rookie deal. I understand standing firm to your stance here under the rookie contract. You want to get that fourth year at that lower number. Like, I understand all that. You went and spent the money on Nick Foles. Like, if you're in Yon's shoes, you're looking around, what can you possibly be thinking except, why not me? Right? Like, who wouldn't understandably be looking around if you were in Yannick Ngakoue's situation and say, why not me? You know, why can they pay Yon and Hurns and Linder and Blake and go pay Calais and AJ and they go sign Nick Foles? Right? Like, he's looking around at all these things happening. Why wouldn't you be standing there if you're getting paid 10% of what you're worth? likely on the open market, why wouldn't you be standing there saying, why not me? If you're Yannick Ngakoue. Now, again, we do want to get your reaction to it too. I know some fans don't feel that way about it. That's fine. We'd be glad to hear the other side of this thing because there's more than one side to it. And again, I can understand the inclination to feel that way about millionaires discussing millions of dollars. Like, I get that frustration with it, but we're not in the same situation that NFL players are. It's the bottom line here. And Yannick Ngakoue is worth more than he's being paid at this point. And if the whole deal is contracts for you, then why don't you expect teams to live up to their contracts when it doesn't help the team? Right? Like, it doesn't help the Jacksonville Jaguars to be underneath the Malik Jackson contract this year, but I didn't hear anyone yelling that the Jags need to honor that contract with Malik Jackson, you know? But we'll get your reaction as well. 641-1010 if you want to get in on the 1010XL text line built by Lifetime Enclosures. We'll get your reaction there as well. Get to it on Twitter. As it is the fan feedback spotlight question of the day, we're just asking you simply, what is your reaction to Yannick Ngakoue releasing the statement yesterday saying that he will not be there for the mandatory minicamp this week? We'll see what that looks like heading into training camp and whether or not a deal gets done. How much pressure does this put on both sides to try to get this thing done before training camp now if Yannick Ngakoue is willing to withhold service? Just what kind of position does that put the Jaguars in? Potentially the ramifications of an offseason where when Doug Marrone went into this thing, it was the big thing that he emphasized on the way out the door at the end of 2018 after a 5-11 season. We want everybody to be here for everything. Well, that has not been the case in Jacksonville for 2019 as they get ready for the upcoming season. What does that mean for the football team going forward? We'll get into that as well. Doug Marrone, they moved up the practice schedule, so Doug Marrone has already spoken. They're out on the practice field right now, probably for another half hour or so. The Jags will be out there, so Jalen Ramsey should be at the podium and done from the podium perspective here in the next hour or so, so maybe we can get some of his comments as well, but do want to let you hear some of the comments from head coach Doug Marrone, who obviously was asked about the situation with Yannick Ngakoue as well. As we get things rolling, it's a Tuesday here on Jaguars Today, and when hopefully this is the loudest story over the course of the next month or so with the Jacksonville Jaguars. Wouldn't it be fun if in 3 weeks you have contracts for Miles Jack and Yannick Ngakoue and you don't have to think about it anymore? Wouldn't that be fun? I doubt that's the way that it's going to work out when everything is said and done, but heck, one can dream, and hopefully this is the biggest story over the course of the next 5 weeks as they get set to break camp here in a couple days, and then they'll be back for training camp in July. So hopefully no other off-field stuff going on because there's been plenty already this year for the Jacksonville Jaguars to have to deal with. We'll dig into that, take your phone calls, get your reaction to the Yannick Ngakoue situation. 641-1010 if you want to get involved with the show this morning. It's a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Hey here. And again, just when you thought it was going to be a slow week potentially in Jacksonville from a news perspective, gets ramped back up as we welcome in Hayes Carline, our Jaguars reporter here for 1010XL. Hayes, appreciate you giving me a few minutes this morning. And I'll start with this. What was your reaction yesterday when you saw Yannick Ngakoue release the statement saying that he wasn't going to be here for minicamp?
Yeah, first thing, thanks for having me on, Tony. I think it wasn't surprising because I think it's to the point where this is what Yannick Ngakoue should do. I think it was surprising to me that he showed up at any point for the voluntary OTA. And obviously he's probably handled it poorly or certainly mishandled it. But I think a lot of that is just because of his willingness to come at all. I think he would have been better off just staying away from voluntary OTAs altogether. I think he's absolutely in the right to skip mandatory minicamp. Yannick Ngakoue is not a top 50 paid defensive end in the NFL right now. And, you know, that's something that I think the Jaguars should react to. And I think he's deserving of a second contract. And so I don't blame Yannick Ngakoue. I think it's more a question of when does he come if this contract is not done. And if I'm Yannick Ngakoue, I'm more than willing to sit out the first 10 games of the season and forfeit the, $1.4 million that I would forfeit. Show up in week 11, get credit for my accrued year, and then force the Jaguars to either franchise them or let him hit the market, where I think he would secure a $100 million deal. So, you know, to me, I don't think it's I don't think it's surprising. I think it's what Yannick Ngakoue should do, and he shouldn't be here until he has a contract.
Yeah, I think the part of it that gets muddy for fans, that even the ones that are pretty solidly on Yan's side, you do get some of the reaction. I'm sure you've seen it too, Hayes, of the why did he say what he said when he was here, when he was here for OTAs then, and then we're in the situation that we're in where he did talk about commitment to the team and teammates when he was here briefly, and we were all surprised. I know I was surprised when Yan was here for any portion of OTAs and then decided to step away from it, and now we know he's going to be holding out through minicamp. At least we'll see what it looks like in training camp for him, but how do you put those two things together?
I think once he has his contract, the leadership comes naturally. That plays a big role in the locker room, is what guys make. So I also think Yan is a genuine leader. I think his passion, how high his motor is consistently, I think all that stuff lends itself well to leadership. And obviously now he'll be going into his fourth year. So he has, you know, the seasoning required to really be somebody that a lot of the locker room will look to. So I don't think that'll be a problem for Yannick. Again, it's been clumsy, and I think it's been clumsy in part because Yannick really wants to be here. I don't think Yannick is enjoying not being here. I just don't think he's wired that way. But I think he is, you know, finally reached the conclusion, probably with some strong persuasion from his representation, that, look, if we want to get this done, we've got to put some pressure on them, and you've got to exercise your leverage. So I think once the deal is done, I think the leadership component comes pretty quickly for Yannick Ngakoue.
How strong do you think his leverage is, Hayes? Because that really might be the determining factor in whether or not something does get done over the course of the next few weeks.
I think it's incredibly strong. I mean, if they don't have Yannick Ngakoue, then I think it puts them in a difficult spot. It puts a lot on Josh Allen's plate, who, you know, is certainly a promising prospect, but we haven't seen him do much on the field. He's had the bruised knee really since the start of voluntary OTAs. So, you know, I do think that would be asking a lot for him to come in and be expected to shoulder, you know, a 600, 700 snap role this coming year. And they really need two guys. You know, ideally it would be Ngakoue and Josh Allen on obvious passing situations with Calais moving inside. So if you don't have Yannick Ngakoue, now, you know, it's going to make it difficult to put a real elite pass rushing unit out there, because you're just not going to have the depth that you have with Yan. So I think he has a tremendous amount of leverage. I think if Yannick Ngakoue decides that he's not going to show up and they don't have him for the Chiefs opener, I think it makes it all the more difficult to pick the Jaguars to win that game, because a big part of that success would be Yannick Ngakoue and the Jaguars front able to get consistent pressure on Mahomes.
Hayes Carline, who is the Jaguars reporter here for us at 1010XL. You can also hear him afternoons with the Franchi Show from 3 to 6, 3 to 7 some days. How long then do you think this will last?
I think it'll last until we get close to camp. I mean, this is a deadlines league, and I think the Jaguars and Yannick will probably spar a little longer, hoping that, you know, one of the parties will agree to a deal that's overly favorable for the other. So I think the Jaguars will sit tight, and I think Ngakoue will sit tight. And then I think when we get close to training camp and the deadline approaches, then I think something gets done. So my guess is they'll report to training camp July 27th, somewhere in there. So I'll say that Yannick Ngakoue has a new deal with the Jaguars on July 24th.
So basically when it might rise to the level of an actual distraction is when you think it would get done.
Correct.
Yeah.
And again, I think it should. I mean, to me, this is a pretty obvious, you know, sometimes I think, and we're going to see it, I think, with some quarterbacks coming up in the league where teams are really going to have hard decisions to make. I don't think this is a hard decision. I mean, I think Yannick Ngakoue is a player that you should feel comfortable giving a big guaranteed contract to because of the fact he does not strike me as somebody who will be changed by a second contract, and I think sometimes you worry about that. And he's done, you know, everything he could do to earn it. I mean, he's been a really productive player since the day he arrived, and really has been a good guy off the field for them as well. So there's really no reason you wouldn't do it. And again, edge rush, I mean, that's only going to become more critical as the league continues to gravitate more towards the pass. So to me, it doesn't make it makes no sense that they wouldn't be able to get something done. So I don't think it'll be contentious in the end. I think the deal will get done before training camp, and you know, these guys will embrace, and then Yannick Ngakoue will be here for several more years and really have an opportunity to make a push for perhaps being in the Pride one day.
Yeah, I do think he's that caliber of player, and we'll see. Like I've said it several times, I hope Yannick Ngakoue never takes a snap for another team than here in Jacksonville, but that's all to be played out, and obviously he's playing his hand the way that he feels like he needs to right now to make that kind of thing happen. Look, Doug Marrone, Hayes, when we went into this offseason, we've talked about the comments he had with, you know, he wanted everybody to be here throughout the entire thing. He thought that was going to be important at coming off the 5-11 year following the AFC Championship game appearance. And instead of getting that out of this team, we've had, now you got to deal with Yannick Ngakoue, which is understandable. Like, all the situations that have happened, you can understand them, basically, right? Like, Telvin Smith is dealing with whatever Telvin Smith is dealing with, but he's not going to be here. But in going into an offseason where the head coach said, this is important to us, having to deal with all that they've had to deal with, what does that say to you about the 2019 Jaguars?
I think it's really hard to say. I mean, I think there's a lot of variables involved in it. I think, you know, Telvin Smith will be a distraction. You know, and I think it'll be interesting to see how well they're able to fill that void. So I think Telvin will be a distraction until we get to game week of Kansas City, because I just think you never know. Does he change his mind? Does he decide to show up? You know, until he files any sort of formal paperwork declaring his intention, there's always that open-ended question of will he walk back, you know, and rejoin the team. I think, you know, with Leonard, I think it's hard to predict how that will go. You'd like to think that Leonard Fournette will have a great third season and be everything that they'd hope, but, you know, his history here tells us that there will probably be some hiccups along the way. So I think when you look at those two players, it's really hard to have, I think, a good feel for where this season is going to go. I think if everything goes right, they can certainly win 10, probably 10 games, I would say, is probably their you know, max. If things don't go well, then I think they could be looking at another double-digit loss season. So, and again, most teams fall into that category in this league. You know, so I don't think the Jaguars are you know, unique in that instance. But I do think it's hard to predict right now what this team will be, because I still think they have a lot of questions to answer. I still wonder about the maturity of the team. You know, has that improved? Is the chemistry better? And those are answers that we just won't be able to get until we're a little closer to September 8th.
Yeah, the team out on the practice field right now, Hayes, did you hear anything from Doug Marrone before practice this morning that caught your attention?
Not really. You know, Doug was sort of, obviously the press conference was geared more towards Yannick Ngakoue and Telvin Smith. And, you know, Doug deferred, as he often does, to the front office. The problem is, you know, we just don't hear from them. So it's up to Doug to sort of give us any sort of, you know, information. And he wasn't really prepared to do that. So we didn't learn a whole lot. I mean, he said, you know, hey, we'll be smart with Jalen Ramsey. But, I mean, he's been out there and he looks great. So, you know, there wasn't really anything in general that I thought really, you know, pushed the needle one way or another. You know, and so far it's been interesting to watch, because I think the passing game has cooled down a little bit today with Jalen back there. So we were sort of curious what the effect of that would be. And so far it looks like this has been, when you line all the days up, it looks like this has been one of the better ones for the defense.
Yeah, how about Jalen with the self-produced entrance video to the facility yesterday? That's pretty epic right there.
Yeah, well, I do the same thing, so you know, people seem to like it.
Yeah, they seem to. What do you want to hear from Jalen? We know we're going to hear from him after practice wraps up today. What do you want to hear from 2-0?
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to get his thoughts more on just the overall sense of the team, what he thinks about Nick Foles, his reaction when Foles was signed, you know, things like that, how he feels like the offseason went for him. He looks like he's in fantastic shape, you know, so I think it'll be more just how he assesses, you know, everything else that he finds from where he left it. So always entertaining when Jalen talks.
Sure, and also for the first time since the season wrapped up, open locker room today. Who are you looking forward to getting a chance to chat with?
Oh, I've got a bunch of numbers written down, so we'll see. I've got about 13 guys earmarked. We obviously talked a lot to the receivers and tight ends during voluntary OTAs, and so we'll try and get a little bit more with the guys in the trenches and see how they're doing. So we're going to throw a wide net, and hopefully we'll catch a few nice interviews for 1010XL.
Yeah, open locker room, buddy. That's a different world.
Absolutely. Looking for, and it's fun just to see where they put certain guys. You know,
oh, yeah.
Where do they have Quincy Williams? Who's he, you know, next to and so forth. So that's always entertaining when it's the first time in there for a new season.
Yeah, and there's 90 of them.
Yeah.
There's twice what you'll see once we get into the actual season, basically, in there in that locker room. Hayes, we appreciate it, bud. We'll be looking forward to hearing what you get from the locker room this afternoon on the Frangie Show.
All right. Thanks, Tony. Take care.
All right. There he is, Hayes Carline, the 1010XL Jaguars reporter. Again, you can get whatever he's going to get out of that locker room coming up a little bit later on. It is the first open locker room session of the year today. I think they're open today and tomorrow, and then it'll be closed again on Thursday. I think is the plan. I also think today and tomorrow they move the practice up into earlier in the morning, and that Thursday, at least for now, they're still scheduled for 10:45 to 12:45. But again, this time of year, all of this is tentative as far as when they'll actually be out there doing any of that stuff. We do know Doug Marrone has already spoke. We do know Jalen Ramsey is going to speak when they wrap up practice today, and we're hopeful to get you some of the comments of Jalen Ramsey, because when Jalen speaks, we all listen here in Jacksonville for sure. Doug Marrone already spoke before practice. We'll let you hear some of the comments of the head coach, as obviously there is a big story in Jacksonville right now with Yannick Ngakoue saying yesterday that he will not be here for the mandatory minicamp as he waits to get a contract done between himself and the team. So when will we see Yannick Ngakoue? I think all those kind of questions are inbounds. If you want to react with us, you can. 641-1010 is the number. Also on the text line, built by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. We'll get to some of your reaction. Want to let you hear from Doug Marrone as he spoke before practice this morning as well. As we continue along, a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Now, more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
Tony Smith here with you. Jaguars Today rolling on as we continue to react to the big story, obviously being Yannick Ngakoue announcing yesterday that he will not be here for the mandatory minicamp that got started today, runs through Thursday for the Jags before they break, and then they'll be back middle of July for training camp. And we'll see if a deal is done between now and then for the defensive end who's entering the final year of his rookie deal. It's set to make just over $2 million this year, Yannick Ngakoue. He's made basically $2 million through the first three seasons of his career to this point, but set to make just over $2 million this year. If you look at the franchise number next year, it's expected for defensive end to be around $18.5 million with a couple of the new deals that have been put in there, including Frank Clark and DeMarcus Lawrence, who we've talked about a bunch, those two guys getting their deals, but that bumps the franchise number up to about 18.5 for next offseason. So you'd be looking at paying Yannick Ngakoue over the next 2 years, if you went the fourth year of his deal franchise tag route, about $20.5 million, right? Like that's around where the number would be if the Jags wanted to look at that. And I think there's probably a way to structure any new deal that you did with them where you're not paying a whole lot more than that over the course of the first couple of years from a cash perspective to Yannick Ngakoue as far as how it hits you in the next couple of years. I think there's a way to do that if they wanted to go that route, and maybe that pushes it up to 22 or, you know, whatever. I don't know, but I think there's a way to do it if you want to from a team perspective. I'm curious to see how much leverage Yannick Ngakoue actually had in this situation, because he's playing the only leverage he has. Like, this is the only card you have if you're unique to try to get a deal done. This is it. You know, the only way to put pressure on a team is to not show up. We asked for your reaction on the text line. We'll get to some of your phone calls a little bit later on as well at 641-1010, the text line built by Lifetime Enclosure. Some of the reaction we've had already this morning from the 318, show me a team with two $100 million defensive players and a high quarterback salary. And my response to that is, one, Nick Foles isn't a high quarterback salary. Nick Foles is a middle-of-the-road NFL quarterback salary when everything is said and done. But if you want to say he's a guy that's on his second deal getting paid more than a rookie contract, okay. The other side of that, a couple $100 million guys. Well, yeah, there haven't been a whole lot of teams with a bunch of $100 million guys because the cap hadn't been going up and up and up and up and up and up and up for 30 years. It's been going up and up and up for five, right? And as the cap continues to go up, you're going to see more teams paying players this kind of money. This is what it costs to keep players in today's NFL. You want to keep one of the premier defensive ends in the league? $20 million a year. That's the price, right? Like, it just is what it is because they're not replaceable. You go back to the analogy I was giving you, like, say it was welders. It's this idea of you can't go get another one that can do the same job. It's not replaceable. The Jacksonville Jaguars, I just looked it up to make sure I had these numbers right. The Jacksonville Jaguars, in the history of the franchise, we're getting ready to hit year number 25, season 25 for the Jacksonville Jaguars. In the history of their franchise, they have had eight individual seasons where guys have had 10 or more sacks. Eight. In 25 years. Calais Campbell has two of them. Yannick Ngakoue has one of them. Three of the eight are on the roster right now. You want to talk about not being able to replace it? They hadn't replaced Tony Brackens since he left. Hadn't come close to replacing the guy since he left the organization. And now they have Calais Campbell and Yannick Ngakoue. And we don't know how much longer Calais Campbell is going to be able to do it at the level he's doing it. But it's been extraordinary what he's done. Yannick Ngakoue is still an ascending player in the league that they drafted, that they identified in the third round, and has given them a 12-sack season and a 9.5-sack season, which, by the way, 9.5 is the ninth best season in Jaguars history. Yannick Ngakoue, some fans were disappointed. It was a top 10 season in Jaguars history, what Yannick Ngakoue gave you last year for a still ascending player. I completely understand Jan's, if he looks around the room in the time that he's been here, if he looks around and says, they extended Hearnsey and I didn't have an issue with it, right? Like, if you're Jan, it's like, yeah, extend him. He earned it. They extend Telvin. Yeah, he earned it. Right? They extend Linder. They extend Blake. They go spend the big money on these free agent guys. And then it becomes my time to sit at the table and we're doing what? Like, I understand that perspective from Yannick Ngakoue. I can get the team wanting to get the deal that they want to get. It's basically what wound up happening with Allen Robinson. It was a bit of a different situation because the deal with Allen Robinson, because he was coming off the ACL, was more about the Jaguars wanted to re-sign A-Rob, but they had a number in mind that they weren't willing to go over from a guaranteed perspective because he was coming off the ACL. They wanted him to prove that he was still healthy, right? And if he was going to prove, if he played like the Allen Robinson they had seen in Jacksonville in the past, then he would make more money than he was going to make in Chicago when he signed that deal. He chose to go to Chicago for whatever confluence of reasons that Allen Robinson decided to go to Chicago. He's not here. He's not going to be in a Jaguars uniform. Yannick Ngakoue, there's no injury questions. There's no effort questions. There's no heart questions. There's none of that. This is a young, ascending pass rusher in the league. And they're, whatever's going to happen with it's happening, Yannick Ngakoue is exercising the only leverage he has in the situation, which is to say, I'm not showing up until this gets done. That's the only card he has to play. That's it. Like, he doesn't have another one. And most of the time, it's the only one that players have to play. Now, you can play it different ways, right? Like, you can do it the way Antonio Brown did it, which was a really bad look. I don't get that vibe from, or even close to that, with this Jan situation. right? Like, he showed up even for part of the voluntary OTAs, and then obviously his agent or somebody got in his ear and said, Jan, like, honestly, man, if you want to make this happen, this isn't going to do it. Like, this isn't putting pressure on them to make sure they get a deal done with you, man. Like, it's just, that's not how you're going to make this happen. Even if in a perfect world, that's the way it would work, right? Like, you would come in and you'd be getting to work and NFL teams would just look at you and say, look at this guy. Yeah. Like, that's not how it works in the real world. It's, as I said yesterday on Twitter too, this idea from when teams start showing the loyalty to players that it feels like a lot of fans want players to have for teams, then maybe I'll understand a little bit better this whole perspective that some people have about these kind of situations. But teams aren't loyal to players for the most part. Every now and then you'll see a story, right? Like, every now and then there's a Zach Miller in Chicago who blows up his knee for the third time or whatever, and they keep him on for another year, knowing he's never going to play. Every now and then you see that kind of story. Now, the other side of that is they're paying Zach Miller. They had to cut somebody. Like, somebody's livelihood was affected by them being good to Zach Miller at the same time, which is why you understand it's a business. And from a team perspective, you run it like a business. And from an individual player perspective, you run it like a business. And the business is you. Yannick Ngakoue's business is not the Jacksonville Jaguars. He's not responsible for trying to figure out how to pay Nick Foles and Jalen Ramsey and Miles Jack, any of that. Yannick Ngakoue is responsible for himself. And he's a player in a league where the lifespan for these guys is so short that he may only have one bite at the Big Apple, right? He may only have one real bite at a mega contract in the league. So you can understand, you do whatever you need to do to make that kind of thing happen for you if you're a good enough player to get it. And Yannick Ngakoue happens to be a good enough player to get it. Continuing out on the text line, built by Lifetime Enclosures, Wade texted in, do you ever think about the players we will not be able to re-sign or sign if we pay both 91 and 20? We have a potential replacement for Jan. No one can replace Ramsey. Yes, Jan deserves to be paid more, but it doesn't have to be by the Jags. Okay. Okay. And that's all the more reason for Jan to handle it this way. Right? Like, if the team has no interest in signing you to a long-term deal, then you're, yeah, see you week 11. That would be my response if I was Unique. If that's the kind of feel of, or vibe he's getting from the team, and I don't think it is, but if that's the kind of vibe he was getting from the team, then yeah, okay, that's fine. Y'all handle your business the way that you want to as a team. I'll see you week 11 when I can get my accrued season, and then you guys have to decide whether to franchise tag me or let me walk in free agency. It's going to be one way or the other, though. I mean, it's an ascending player at a premier position. And we just got it in on the text line. I was waiting on it. In the real world, people work if they're under contract. Well, the NFL exists in the real world, and guess what? A guy's holding out. So, no, it doesn't work that way everywhere. It works that way for many people, right? Like, that's the way it works for many people. It's not the same situation. The NFL is not, quote, the real world. The NFL is the NFL. And the only leverage he has, you can't replace Jan. You may be able to get another guy who can maybe do some version of the job that you would get from Yannick Ngakoue, but the reason he's worth what he's worth, and the reason that DeMarcus Lawrence is worth what he's worth, and J.J. Watt is worth what he's worth, and Frank Clark is worth what he's worth, these guys who are getting paid big money at the defensive end position, you get paid that kind of money because no one else can do it. You can't just go to the street and find somebody else that can do the job. It's hard to find guys that can rush the passer in the National Football League. It is a difficult thing to sign and find. They have one, homegrown, in Yannick Ngakoue. And I hope it works out for both sides. I really do. I hope it works out for both sides. And maybe the big point that I'm trying to make is, I understand why Jan's doing it the way Jan's doing it, and I don't blame him. I don't blame Jan at all for handling it the way that he is. Let's get out to the phone lines for the first time today, 641-1010. Let's welcome in Lewis, who has dialed up the program. Hey, Lewis, what's going on today, buddy?
Hey, what's up? How y'all doing?
Pretty good. What's up?
Don't fault him at all. Believe he should get paid his money. However, I got to look at the Super Bowl winning team for this recent era. Not a lot of $20 million men on that team. I want to say the kicker's making like $4 million, which is more than three quarters of the entire Patriots roster. So there are ways to get it done from a team standpoint, too, you know.
All right, Lewis, appreciate the call. I would say my immediate response to that is, well, stop using New England. Like, no one else has Tom Brady, right? And no one else probably is ever going to have Tom Brady again in the history of the National Football League. It's the situation for Tom Brady is so unique. One, he was a sixth-round pick, so the Patriots got massively lucky to have ever landed the guy in the first place, but that he was even available to him when they picked. The other side of it, he marries a supermodel who makes twice as much money as him, so he doesn't need the big money contract. And he's always been willing to take a little bit less so that the team can continue to go out and do more, right? Like, everyone's not in Tom Brady's situation.
And doesn't he always get, like, a huge signing bonus?
Look, Tom's getting his money. You know, Tom's getting his money somehow, right? Like, this whole discount thing, you know? How much of a discount is it really with Tom Brady? But yet, stop using New England. They landed on the best quarterback and maybe the best head coach in the history of the National Football League. You're not going to rebuild it the same way the Patriots did. No one's ever going to do it again. Likely, for as long as they're playing NFL football, likely no one will ever put together the formula that the New England Patriots have put together for the last 20 years. It's why it's never happened in league history, and it's why it's likely never going to happen again. They just got lucky. Like, it fell into it for them that they happen to wind up with those two pieces. But I do understand, yeah, there are different ways to do it. Okay, the Patriots have found a way. Now they happen to find a way to do it when their quarterback's willing to take a bit of a discount. Not everybody has to. And I imagine there's been some level of frustration from other players in the league, like other quarterbacks in the league when Tom Brady doesn't take the top-end money that maybe he's been worth. You know, maybe now that he's 42, he doesn't need to take a top-end contract, but when he was 35, it maybe wasn't taken. I bet there were players in the league that were like, doggone it, Tom. You don't take it, that means they're not going to give it to me. Like, there's that aspect to it, too, with that kind of stuff. Let's go to the phone lines again, 641-1010. Tony is up next out in Mandarin. What's going on, Tony? Tony, you there?
I'm here. How you doing? Yes, I was just saying, looking forward for the Jacks to do something this year. And my question is, like, I've seen all these players get all this paid, and like I said, Unique, he's really good. And it's just the thing about we need, instead of somebody who's real good, you need a leader on team. And since Fred Taylor and all those guys that left old, they were leaders. And you need, if he's a lead, shows that leadership, so like, hey, you need to, if he shows that, then, you know, we're good. Because I know, like I said, I'm a Ravens fan. And, you know, Ray Lewis, some of those about him. I mean, he would just hype you up. I mean, he would just be that team leader. Who, you know, that, you know, regardless of whatever I think about him. But I just think he need to bring, if he has a leadership role, which is strong and which he wants to do, then yes, you know, my word, please give him the money if he's showing that up. But if he's not, you know, like I said, you know, that's all.
All right. Appreciate the call, Tony. Look, I'd say I've never heard anyone question the leadership of Yannick Ngakoue in the time that he's been here in Jacksonville. Now, look, he's holding out. Calais Campbell is certainly a leader. If you want to hold it against Yannick Ngakoue, I can't stop you, right? Like, if you hold the fact that he's holding out right now against him as a leadership quality, I can't stop you from doing that. I don't necessarily do that all that much. I think Yannick Ngakoue is exactly what you're looking for when you go find a guy. I think he's exactly what you're looking for. Not necessarily the third round. I think he got underdrafted. Like, Yannick Ngakoue, with what we've seen, should have been a first-round pick. Like, he was worthy of being a first-round pick. And the effort that you've seen from him, the chip that he has on his shoulder about being drafted where he was, and that prove-it mentality, I don't get the sense that that's ever going away with Yannick Ngakoue. And if they signed him to a long-term deal, I think he would work harder than he ever has. I think that's the kind of personality he has. Everyone that I've talked to that's been around him, like I watch him from afar, but everyone that I talk to that's been around him say that he loves the game. This is what he wants to do. Yeah, he's exactly what you want. Jan is what you are looking for when you're trying to find a young pass rusher. And we'll see if the two sides can get something worked out. We'll continue to take your calls, get to your texts as well. As we go throughout the show this morning, we got this date in football history, the Roland Reese roll around the NFL. Do want to let you hear from head coach Doug Marrone this morning, who spoke before practice. Practice is wrapped up. Jalen Ramsey at a podium right now. We'll let you know some of the thoughts if he shares some interesting things as well in the second hour of the program today. This date in football history, the Roland Reese roll around the NFL coming up next here on 1010XL.
And now, this date in football history.
All right, this date in football history. Real quick, out to the text line, Emmanuel. Someone texted in and asked me, why am I yelling? Did you feel like I was yelling?
Absolutely not.
Yeah, in that segment, I didn't feel like I was yelling. I don't know how, like,
eh.
Whatever. This date in football history, happy birthday to the man who wanted to make sure that America had some high-quality avocados at their Super Bowl party when they were going to make the guac a couple years ago, the last time we saw him on Radio Row. That, of course, would be Joe Montana. You might know him a little better as a Hall of Fame quarterback and four-time Super Bowl champion with Joe, who turned 63 today. Montana was an eight-time Pro Bowler, two-time league MVP, three-time All-Pro, and 1989 AP Offensive Player of the Year. Montana was one of four quarterbacks named to the NFL's 75th anniversary all-time team in 1994, alongside Sammy Baugh, Otto Graham, and Johnny Unitas at the QB spot. He was one of four players that were still active at that time to be named to the anniversary team. His teammate Jerry Rice was among the other three, of course. Reggie White, Rod Woodson, and another teammate of his, Ronnie Lott, on the 75th anniversary team. In 2006, Sports Illustrated named Montana the number one most clutch quarterback of all time. I have a feeling a lot of those accolades would look a little bit different in light of the last 25 years of NFL football. It was kind of fun going over that list of the 75th anniversary team, though, and taking a look at just how many I think may change when they inevitably release the 100th anniversary team this year with it being 100 years of NFL football. Happy 49th birthday to the man that is still chasing Fred Taylor, Brock Marion. Marion won two Super Bowl rings with the Dallas Cowboys in his first five seasons in the league before joining the Miami Dolphins, where he spent six seasons, was elected to three Pro Bowls, the first of those three coming after the 2000 season, when I assume he spent an offseason licking those 90-yard divisional round wounds from that Jacksonville Jaguars game when they retired Dan Marino. Happy would-be 116th birthday to Pro Football Hall of Fame fullback Ernie Nevers. I had so much fun reading about Ernie Nevers. Nevers was a member of the All-Decade team in the 1920s, still holds the NFL record for points in a game with 40. He was an All-American at Stanford in December of 1925. He played two games for a football team right here in Jacksonville, Florida, against the Red Grange-led Chicago Bears and New York Giants before the team folded after just two exhibition games. In his first season with the Duluth Eskimos in the NFL, you heard that right, the Duluth Eskimos in the NFL in 1926, Nevers played 1,714 minutes of a possible 1,740 for the Eskimos. Duluth that year fielded a roster of 16 men and played a 29-game schedule, going 19-7-3. You heard all those numbers correctly. In 1927, Nevers again played for the Eskimos, but also served as the team's head coach. He was selected as an All-Pro by the Green Bay Press Gazette based on a questionnaire the paper had sent out to league managers and reporters. That's how it was chosen back in the day. Nevers, playing for the Chicago Cardinals in 1929, was involved in the first night game in NFL history when the Cardinals beat the Providence Steamrollers 16-0. When Jim Thorpe was named the greatest football player of all time in 1931 by a group of 12 coaches, including Pop Warner, Nevers was number two on that list, tied with Red Grange. He was selected as the best college football player of all time by Sports Illustrated in 1962, enlisted in the Marine Corps at the age of 39 in 1942, and was given the rank of captain and served in the Pacific Theater. I'm only scratching the surface on the pretty incredible Nevers notes, so check out the Wikipedia page and marvel along with me. And that is this date in football history.
Now, let's roll around the NFL with Roland Reich Plumbing, where quality and experience count.
Indianapolis Colts offensive tackle Antonio Garcia has been suspended without pay for the first four games of the 2019 season for violating the NFL policy for performance-enhancing drugs. Garcia was a third-round pick of the New England Patriots in 2017, has yet to appear in an NFL game, so even the Pats get it wrong sometimes. Despite weeks of trade rumors, the Minnesota Vikings and tight end Kyle Rudolph agreed to a four-year, $36 million contract extension that will keep him with the Minnesota Vikings. Houston pass rusher Jadeveon Clowney, who was franchise-tagged by the Texans, will not be attending mandatory minicamp this week, so he officially enters holdout territory as he continues to try and get a long-term deal worked out with the team that just fired their general manager, who is the man that is most often, if not always, responsible for negotiating, say, I don't know, contracts with players. So how that deal was going to get done at this point, we'll see. But Jadeveon Clowney not going to be out there for minicamp. And one last piece of news here. Former NFL tight end Kellen Winslow Jr. has been found guilty of rape against a 58-year-old homeless woman last year. The jury returned the guilty verdict yesterday, still deliberating on two more counts of rape involving a 54-year-old hitchhiker and an unconscious teenage girl in 2003. Winslow was also found guilty of indecent exposure and lewd conduct, but not guilty on a separate lewd act. So we mentioned that story a couple weeks ago. That's at least the latest update with Kellen Winslow Jr. as that very terrible story continues to develop. Let's get into a little bit of what head coach Doug Marrone had to say at the podium this morning. Do want to let you hear from Jalen Ramsey, hopefully, too, before we get done with the show today. But we'll get to some of the Marrone, specifically what he had to say about the big story with the Jags right now. Of course, being Unique Ngakoue not being there for the mandatory minicamp getting started today. Doug Marrone started saying this morning that he has spoken to Unique Ngakoue.
I spoke to Jan yesterday. You know, he's been in communication with the coaches. Obviously, you've seen, you know, the tweet that was put out, you know, and I discussed with Jan, and, you know, obviously he wants to resolve the contract issue. So, you know, my discussions with him, I can't stand here today and be able to communicate as well as what Jan's going to be able to do. I don't even want to try to do that because I don't want to get involved in the middle or whatever it may be. But, you know, I can't talk for somebody else. So Jan's going to have to do that.
Marrone doing what he's done with any of these similar situations like this before. When players have something that's going on, he lets players speak to it. He doesn't speak to it for them, and he says that he's been in contact with them, but he follows that up. He was basically just saying, look, he's the head coach. He's not going to get into contract negotiations.
I know a lot of guys are going to get pissed and be like BS and not really know anything, but you know, my philosophy has always been from the beginning, I do not get involved with contracts. You know, I do not get involved in negotiations. I don't get involved in any contracts. I don't do anything of that nature. I think that it puts the head coach in a, for me, I think it puts me in a poor position.
And he said that if we do have any questions about those kind of things, that there are people that are above his pay grade, that they're the ones that should be asked.
I can't answer any questions that you may have. Those are better off for, you know, Coach Coughlin and Dave.
And Coach Coughlin and Dave, believe it or not available to the media anytime soon to answer those questions. So in the end, we'll have to wait till something gets resolved one way or the other with the situation, unless Unique Ngakoue, who obviously could speak anytime he wants to, you know. Dave Caldwell and Tom Coughlin could too. I don't expect to hear anything from Dave Caldwell or Tom Coughlin regarding this situation until it gets resolved one way or the other. Would be my guess that this will be the last we hear about any of this until the situation gets resolved. And, you know, we got 5 weeks after this minicamp for time before training camp gets here to try to get some of this done. Want to let you hear a little bit more from Doug Marrone on the other side. Jalen Ramsey at the podium as well. We'll try to get you some of the reaction that he has to his first day out here with the 2019 version of this Jacksonville Jaguars team. But a few tidbits coming out on Twitter for people that, again, this has been a topic of discussion for a while. This idea of how the Jaguars were going to handle trying to figure out what to do from a contract situation with Unique Ngakoue, Jalen Ramsey, and Miles Jack, right? Like, it's been something that's been part of the discussion around this team for a while now. Jalen Ramsey, speaking after practice today, basically said he's been told he's not getting a contract extension this year, which is not a surprise. The quote, though, and this is why you were just looking forward to Jalen being back in front of a microphone. The quote from Jalen, quote, "The money is always there, my guy," when asked about the potential for a deal getting done. Jalen with it, the money is always there, my guy. And, of course, voices his support for Unique Ngakoue, says that he hopes he gets paid when everything is said and done. We'll let you hear a little bit more from Doug Marrone again. Hopefully let you hear some of those comments from Jalen Ramsey as well before we get done with the show this morning. As we continue along, we want to take your phone calls, your texts as well. 641-1010 on the phone line. Same number on the text line, built by Lifetime Enclosures. Still continuing to take your reaction to Unique Ngakoue and that situation there with the Jacksonville Jaguars as we roll along here on 1010XL.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
We're rolling along here on a Tuesday, a newsy Tuesday here in Jacksonville. Unique Ngakoue releasing a statement yesterday saying he's not going to be here for the mandatory minicamp that got rolling today. They're already off the practice field. The Jags moved practice up a couple of hours this morning. Doug Marrone spoke before practice. We'll let you hear a little bit more from him. Hopefully before we'll hear a little bit of Jalen Ramsey, too, before we get done with the program this morning, who left the podium here about 10 minutes ago. So Jalen done speaking. Did say that he has been told by the team he's not getting a contract extension this offseason. So for those out there who were saying that it should get done now, at least know that. It's it's not happening in the immediate future for Jalen Ramsey. So it'll have to wait until at least next offseason. And we'll see what it looks like with that situation when we get there, right? We got the Unique Ngakoue situation to deal with right now here in Jacksonville. And part of me is like, man, it's nice to finally have players that are worth this headache, man. You know, it's been a long time in Jacksonville since you had any of this kind of situation, anything approaching this. Like Maurice Jones-Drew is the last time it really happened, you know, where a player held out for any reason at all. Now, Mojo, that was different. He was already playing on his second contract and thought he had outplayed it and wanted a third. Like that one, I was much more on the team side of that one. But it's been that long since we've had any of these kind of discussions with any player in a Jaguars uniform. And it's nice to finally have young developing players that you feel like, man, I would really like the team to find a way to hold on to all these guys. Like it's been a long time since you felt that way about players in a Jaguars uniform. On the text line, we'll get to some more comments from head coach Doug Marrone here in a moment, but out on the text line, 641-1010, built by Lifetime Enclosures. Regarding Unique, not a matter of, quote, being under contract, end quote. He had no real input on that contract because of the slotting system for draftees. Now is the time to get the contract that reflects his productivity and its potential. If you're hired to be a line worker in a factory and 3 years later you're still supervising three lines and productivity has tripled on all three, your company should darn well better give you a raise and a new contract. He should be paid both for what he's done and what we are pretty sure he will do. That's how the NFL works. Thanks from Brian. And I tend to agree with that. So from a Unique Ngakoue perspective, that's what I think he's thinking. Right? And I totally get it. I totally understand it. From a team perspective, if there hasn't been a plan in place for what to do regarding paying Unique Ngakoue, Jalen Ramsey, and Miles Jack, if there hasn't been a plan in place for what to do with these guys, if they continue to play up to what you thought would be the level they need to, then what are we doing? Like, honestly, from a front office perspective, it's just I have major questions if it's about not putting the money aside to make sure you can make this happen when it was time to make it happen. The money shouldn't be what gets in the way of this, in my opinion. If he wasn't playing at the level that you feel like you needed him to, okay. Like, I think there are questions, at least with Miles Jack, right? Played middle linebacker for the first time last year, didn't take that step forward that you wanted to see. So you let him play out his fourth year on the deal and then see what happens. It's a less premium position. There's a chance that Miles goes out there and just balls out, right? Like, he's a good enough athlete that it wouldn't surprise anyone, I don't think, if Miles just went out there and lit it up this year for this Jaguars team at that linebacker spot. Wouldn't surprise me, at least. And then you put the pressure on him to pay him. Unique's already put that pressure on. For 3 years, he's done it. Guys, I just went over it a little bit earlier. Yannick Ngakoue has the number 3 and the number 9 single sack seasons in Jaguars history. And he's been here for 3 years. He's got the number 3 and the number 9 season in Jaguars history. And he's been here for 3 years. It's a young player that is still ascending to the top of his position. And we'll see just how high he can ascend when everything is said and done. But, you know, it's not as easy as they want to get a deal done so a deal gets done, right? Like, that's not the way these things work. Let's get a little bit more from Doug Marrone, who spoke before the minicamp practice this morning. We'll start with him saying that he's just pleased with where his team is right now.
You know, one of the things that we talked to the team about today, so you guys know, is, you know, we want to continue because we've done such a good job of, you know, just our building our trust with one another and communicating with one another. We don't talk across the ball. We're really helping each other. And I told the team I couldn't be more pleased with where we are.
Which is good to hear, right? I don't think the Yannick Ngakoue thing is a distraction for players until they get into camp and hopefully something's done before they get to that point, right? But I don't think it's a distraction for players who's here, who's not here, whatever, any of that stuff is going on. Players get it, that it's business. The team's handling it from a business perspective. The individuals are handling it from a business perspective. And the guys that have been out there, it's nice to hear that Doug Marrone feels good about what he's seen from those guys through OTAs and now as they get done with a Tuesday minicamp practice today. He also said along those kind of lines, he's not stressed about players that weren't here during voluntary portions.
Again, it's a voluntary period. You know, you're talking about a voluntary period, so I don't get stressed on that. Trying to get younger, not older.
That's the league, right? That whole thing, Malik Jackson said it for years, and it finally came true. But basically from the moment Malik Jackson got here in a Jaguars uniform, he said, look, they're always looking to replace you. Like, that's the deal. In the National Football League, they're always looking to replace you. It's, do they have a good enough replacement to move on? They got Josh Allen at that defensive end spot. So is he potentially a replacement for Yannick Ngakoue? Maybe, but they haven't even seen him yet. He's been out there on the field for one OTA before he hurt his ankle. So I doubt that's the plan, which maybe does add a little bit more leverage for Yannick Ngakoue in the situation. Jalen Ramsey going to be out there for the first time today, speaking before practice again. So he hadn't seen him yet on the field. Doug Marrone hadn't when he was asked about it, but was asked about Jalen being out there for the first time and if the plan was to just ease him into practice.
Talked to him when he first came in. You know, he's a guy that consistently works out and trains. And I just said, look, I haven't seen you for a while, so we're going to be smart. We're going to put you in there and just really be careful and watch to see where you are, you know, from where we're able to practice. So.
And he was also asked about what they want to do with Jalen, just easing him in because he hasn't been here, but it sounded like Jalen was ready to go, which is what everyone expected it to look like when 2.0 showed up here in time. But he was asked about the plans for some of the other guys who have been sidelined.
We'll see. Some of those guys will be out here, you know, doing individual. Some of those guys will be on the side. I expect all those guys to be out there so you guys can see where they are.
Yeah, so not really much there. And until Doug Marrone gets into specifics of what's going on with guys this time of year, no one is allowed to, as far as reporting goes. Head coach Doug Marrone, this is a question that we've been asked a bunch here on the show regarding the Telvin Smith situation. Just simply, will Telvin be fined at this point for not showing up for the mandatory minicamp?
Coach Coughlin and Dave are the best to ask, you know, those questions. I don't even know how that works.
So I would assume that means that Dave and Tom are in charge of fines, and Doug Marrone was asked that.
So if it's something that's done in the contract, that it comes from the contract, if it's something that when the player's here, you know, then I take care of it.
Yeah. So I don't expect they're going to fine Telvin Smith. Not for this. They got to figure out what they're going to do with Telvin probably once they get in for training camp and when they can put an official designation on whatever's going on with it, but that's the next big domino to fall in the Telvin Smith story, at least at this point. Doug Marrone was asked about if he's – it's something that they talked about wanting attendance for this part of the offseason when they left last year. It hasn't been perfect. Was asked about if he is concerned at all about any outside distractions like this Yannick Ngakoue contract deal can provide.
If you see it taking away, you know, the focus – you know, for the players, you know, then I think you have to just address it with the players. But if not, you know.
If not, then don't worry about it. I guess I'm going to finish that thought there for Coach Doug Marrone. Leonard Fournette back on the field today for the Jags. Was here early on in OTAs, missed the middle portion for about a week and a half. Yeah, the head coach Marrone was asked about what he saw from Leonard when he had him in camp a few weeks ago.
When he was here, he worked well. You know, we'll see how this goes in these next 3 days. But he's done a nice job when the practices he attended. Yeah, so we're happy with that.
Is he happy with the running back group that he has this year in general?
We're happy with all our running backs. I mean, you know, before Rock got hurt, he was doing really well. Thomas Rawls, you guys know. You know, Benny will be out here today, do individual, take some reps, so he'll be out there. So, you know, Alfred Blue has been very consistent in everything that he's done. So, I think, like I said before, I feel real comfortable where we are with, you know, the running back.
They feel good about that running back spot. I certainly feel better about it than I did last year at this point in the offseason. As far as a direct replacement for Leonard Fournette, which Leonard hadn't been able to stay healthy. I mean, it's been an issue. So they need somebody that can pick up the slack for what they expect to get out of 27 because he is going to be such a big part of this offense. I heard Jeff Prosser and Lauren Rue discussing this a little bit this morning on my way in. What level of production you need from Leonard Fournette? And we've asked that question before. Like, what level of production do you need from Leonard Fournette to feel good about this being a playoff team again? And honestly, I don't think this is a playoff team without a pretty big year from Leonard Fournette. Like, I think he's that important a player for this team heading into 2019. Now, do I expect them to get that from Leonard Fournette? And what are the chances that they get big production from Leonard Fournette? I think those are all fair questions to have, and I think those speak directly to what my expectations ultimately are going to be for the 2019 Jacksonville Jaguars. Over the course of the last couple of weeks, we've seen the Jags sign a couple of guys that have come in and gone through the tryout process, Terrell Pryor among those names. But head coach Doug Marrone was asked about what he's looking for when he gets these tryouts in.
It is what it is. It's a tryout. You know, you come out here, and if you can show that you can move better, play better, you know, you may be replacing one. That's where it goes to the business end of things. It's like, you know, we got some tryout players here at a position. Do I address the position saying, hey, we're bringing guys in here to try out? Do you think they feel like coach is trying to replace me or maybe not? I tell the players all the time one thing. Hey, listen, in this profession, if we can get a better player, we're going to go get one. It's just the way it is.
Yep, they're always looking to replace you. That's the not for long league. Like, this is what it is. And again, I don't know how much impact you can expect out of guys that you're signing the first week of June when everything is said and done. But pushing the guys off the bottom end of a roster, okay. Adding competition to it always makes sense. From an NFL perspective, a couple more here from head coach Doug Marrone. Quick ones. Getting back into the meat of the topic today, Marrone was asked if he thinks Jan will show up.
Oh, I don't know. No, we're just working. I mean, my relationship with him is good, but that has not come up.
So we'll see when we get Jan back out there on a football field for the Jags. Probably going to take a contract. It sounds like at this point to make that kind of thing happen. And Marrone finished up this morning by saying he just focuses on the guys that are here that he can coach.
I just try to keep my focus on the players that are here. So, again, it's something I'm not involved in, so I can't have frustration.
A couple more minutes left here on the show this morning. Want to continue to get your reaction on what's going on with Yannick Ngakoue. You can call in 641-1010, as well as on the text line built by Lifetime Enclosures at that same number, 641-1010 is the number. Try to get you a little bit from Jalen Ramsey, who spoke about an hour ago now following Jaguars practice. We'll let you hear from him. Again, he did say he's not getting a contract extension this offseason and voiced his support for Yannick Ngakoue getting paid. Also said that he's been talking to Telvin Smith basically every day and that he would what he would really like is for people to just leave him alone. Trying to, man. It's a story for the football team. We're not trying to bug Telvin Smith. You know, it's a topic for the team, though, heading into the 2019 season, and will continue to be one. As I said, two biggest topics for the Jags heading into the season were Nick Foles and Telvin Smith, and now you got the Yannick Ngakoue story thrown in there, too, with him officially holding out of minicamp this week while he's trying to get that contract done. We'll get to some of your reaction on the fan feedback spotlight on the other side. Let you hear from Jalen Ramsey a little bit. Take your phone calls if you want to get in at 641-1010 as well as we wrap things up here on a Tuesday edition of Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
All right, still going to let you hear a little bit from Jalen Ramsey before we get out of here today as 2.0 is out at minicamp with the Jags for the first time today. If you didn't see his video, I mean, it's a pretty 2.0 thing to do, to produce your own hype video of you walking into a facility for the first time in 2019. I mean, it's pretty incredible. And I've seen the, like, Jaguars boys have put together that kind of stuff before for different things, and you'll get one likely for training camp, right? Like, the first day of training camp when everyone's showing up that morning, the Jaguars official deal will send something out like that, but Jalen had this one done himself, you know, wanted to show him rolling up the windows on his ride, not putting the top back on. I saw Leonard Fournette gave him a bit of a hard time about the whole thing, talking about his shoes and the jumpsuit he was wearing. Like, it's,
Leonard Fournette gives everybody a hard time about how they dress.
Yeah. Leonard seems to get along with just about everybody in that locker room, boy. It'd be nice if Leonard became the player they drafted him to be, man, because I think he's a really easy guy to pull for. And his personality is actually a lot of fun, you know, but everything that goes on with him not giving you quite what you want to get from him on the field makes all of that seem like, well, stop being a distraction. You know, I think that's how a lot of fans feel about it. Stop being a distraction. Don't be the class clown. You know, it's okay to be the class clown when they're going to the AFC Championship game. And if they get back to that kind of level of play, do whatever you want. Do whatever you want. We'll get to the fan feedback spotlight here, too. Just asking fans, I mean, it's not rocket science today what we were going to ask. Your reaction to Yannick Ngakoue letting the team know yesterday and the world know that he's not going to be here for mandatory minicamp. So we ask you your reaction to that news. Here's what we got from Twitter from John. Restructure Norwell, Calais, and Pay 91 from JagFan15. Both sides are handling it wrong. Jag should have gotten the deal done already. Yannick should be showing up like he made it sound like he would be. And I think for fans, if there's a legitimate stumbling block for trying to understand the Yannick Ngakoue side of this, I think that's it, right? It's the he showed up early on in OTAs, said the contract's going to handle itself, I'm going to be here. You know, and when Jan said that, I was like, huh, that's kind of refreshing to hear somebody handle it that way. And then, you know, a couple days later, he's not here for any more of the OTAs. The announcement comes out that he's not here for minicamp, and none of that surprises me. And honestly, if I was in Yannick Ngakoue's situation, I'd probably handle it the exact same way. But it does add this other layer to it that he said what he said when he was here. From Brian, we got expected it. Hope the Jags figure it out because I will not be happy if he walks at the end of the year. From Floyd, we got, I understand his stance, talking about Jan, but I don't think the front office will budge until the middle of the season. From Michael, good for him. The team can't expect to be able to prematurely overpay an at-best up-and-down guy like Bortles, then play hardball with an ascending player who has done all the right things. Players and agents will take note of how they handle this situation. I tend to agree with you on virtually all counts there. Look, if they're willing to pay Blake Bortles, and they're willing to pay Tobin Smith, and they're willing to pay Allen Hurns, and they're willing to pay Brandon Linder, why wouldn't you be willing to pay Yannick Ngakoue? That would be the question I'd be asking myself if I was Yannick Ngakoue, which is why I can understand where he's coming from in this entire thing. From Cobalt Blue, totally expected. Team wants to see what they got with Josh Allen. If people are losing their minds now, wait until next year. Hashtag we can't have nice things. It's nice to have nice things, though, Cobalt. It's nice to have them on the occasions that the Jaguars have had them. And it appears they got a bunch of nice things on that defensive side of the ball right now. And I sincerely hope that there is a real plan in place on how best to keep all of their nice things in the same toy box. This is what I want for this Jaguars team after 25 years of mostly bad from the organization. From Ian, still early to panic. The Jags need to get to work now on a new contract before it gets close to or too close to game number one. from Pete. We got Jags cut Malik, Gip, and Church without blinking, talking about loyalty. Think David Garrard. Heck, even Blake. Honoring contracts has to go both ways or not at all. I stand with Jan to get his deal done. And I think there is a certain, you know, all the guaranteed money gets paid out, right? But NFL contracts, generally speaking, guaranteed money, like a high-end guarantee is around 60%. Most people don't get what Kirk Cousins got, the 100% guaranteed contract from Minnesota last offseason, but the high-end contracts are usually right there around 60%, and a lot of that is backloaded, right? Like contracts, if it's a five-year contract, usually that lasts 2 or 3 years. Basically, a team can get out from underneath it without having to pay a guy much, if anything, at that point in the contract. So it all feeds towards the teams and the owners, like when everything is said and done, it does feel like. And so when players take a stand on what they think they're worth, I'm all right with it. From Moore, we got frustrating because now we have to deal with fans who say players should honor their contracts, but during the season they'll scream for the team to cut certain players. Jan is absolutely deserving of a new deal. So, yeah, I mean, I think I totally get it, you know, and I totally get from a fan perspective when your immediate reaction to these kind of situations is you want a guy to be loyal to the team because that's what you are, right? As a fan, you're loyal to the team. And the players change every couple of years. Some guys are only around for a few months. Some guys stick around for 10 years, right? Like, you never know which of those types of players you're going to get. Like, everybody can't be Fred Taylor, you know, and spend 13 years here or whatever. It's most of the time you're here for a couple of years and then you're gone. That jersey doesn't change, man. You know, you're still pulling for that Jaguars uniform. Like, that's what fans are attached to. And there are some players you grow more attached to than others. I think the Yannick Ngakoue situation is one where, based on the reaction I've seen, the vast majority of this fan base is in favor of Yannick Ngakoue getting paid because I think they recognize what Yannick Ngakoue has meant to this team for 3 years since he got here. I go back through the history of the team. Again, Yannick Ngakoue has 2 of the 9 best sack seasons in franchise history, and he's been here for 3 years. He's got 2 of the 9 best franchise sack seasons in the history of the team, and he's been here for 9 years. That matters, right? When you're trying to figure out what to do as far as paying this guy for the long term, all of that kind of stuff matters. So I think the vast majority of the fan base lands on the same side of this. They'd like to see Yannick Ngakoue get paid. And that feels like a bit of a different view than we usually get for these kinds of things. Let's get into Jalen Ramsey a little bit before we welcome in the boys of XL Primetime. Jalen, we saw the video on the sideline of him last season when Todd Wash was over there. I forget which game it was later in the year, but
wasn't it Tennessee?
It might have been Tennessee. Yeah, I think it was the Thursday night game against Tennessee. Good call, ET. When Todd Wash walked over to him and basically said, "This team is going to be what you want it to be." Basically, like, this is your football team, Jalen. You take it where you want it to go. As far as him being a leader, certainly one of the best players on the team, if not the best player. I think you could argue him and Calais if you wanted to, as far as who is the better player. But those two guys certainly at the top of that list. Jalen was asked about his leadership last season.
I've kind of spoken to it before in the past. I feel like once you get to year 4 and things like this, people expect you to just put yourself in a leadership role. And I know some of those questions may be coming up and people may be wondering about that. And my feeling has always been on that, that I don't want to be, like, that's not something that you can force. I want to continue being myself, being even more supportive of my teammates as I can be, and leading kind of from behind the scenes and by actions more so than kind of, breaking down the team and giving speeches to the team and stuff. That's not how I view leadership. I think there's different ways to lead.
Yeah, there are. And I'm okay with that. Like, I'm okay with hearing that from Jalen Ramsey. You know what you hope? You know, with that kind of situation where he's not the guy who's leading the speech before the game, right? You're hoping that there's a divisional round matchup against, I don't know, the Patriots or somebody this year, right? Like, we get to the end of the season, and Jalen Ramsey, who is clearly one of the best players on the team, one of the best corners in the league, one of the best defensive players in the league, everything that's gone on, you've gone through an entire 2019 season. You got Nick Foles, who has put this team on his back at times, and this defense is playing back to that 2017 level. And here we are, trying to get into the AFC Championship game again, to get back to where you were 2 years ago for this football team. And Jalen Ramsey, who's been that behind-the-scenes guy, who's not the rah-rah guy, who's not the break-down-the-huddle guy, breaks it down, right? Like, that's the story for that kind of thing, is when he does give you that, I think it means more from the guys who don't want to be the face of those kinds of things. Jalen obviously is not going to be someone who's ever going to be shy about his opinion about anything regarding this football team or the league in general. It's just not going to be his personality. But he is a guy that when you heard about him at Florida State and when he got here to Jacksonville, this is more what we expected from Jalen. Like, he wants to be the behind-the-scenes guy. Jalen also was asked, obviously, about his decision to stay home as opposed to be here for the OTAs the last 3 weeks.
Of course, this offseason, I chose to stay home, just like last offseason. I think that is the best plan for me. I know my body very well. I know the team around me. I trust the team around me. I've been working really hard. Of course, the plus is getting able to spend time with my family back in Nashville. So that's been amazing.
Spending time with the baby and the lady. Nothing wrong with that. Again, no issue here. From me with Jalen Ramsey not being here until it's mandatory for him to be here. Of course, again, the big story today for the Jacksonville Jaguars, the contract situation with Yannick Ngakoue. Jalen Ramsey was asked his thoughts on what's going on with his teammate, number 91.
I'm going to continue being as supportive of my teammates as I can. Jan right now, he's not here, of course. Me personally, I think Jan has earned a contract. I think he deserves it. That's something that, you know, his team and the Jags will have to figure out, and I hope they can figure it out, because I definitely want them part of this team.
And finally, the switch to Adidas that everyone noticed earlier this week, but Jalen Ramsey asked about that this morning too.
I switched to Adidas. I just had the opportunity. My contract with Jordan was up. I began renegotiating with them, of course, but also negotiating with other companies, and Adidas was one, and flew me out to Portland, me and the fam. Everything they presented and laid down on the table for me was second to none. And that was just the move. That was the move I wanted to make. I think it was the best move for me business-wise.
So Jalen's a three-stripe guy now, going to the Adidas as opposed to the Jumpman deal for him. So obviously some more Jalen Ramsey coming up as we go throughout the morning today. First open locker room session for the Jaguars today as well. So we'll see what Hayes Carline is able to get out of that locker room as we welcome in the boys of XL Primetime.
Now, the two-minute drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
At Moe's, our caterings come with a heaping side of peace of mind, not to mention the free chips and salsa, delivery, and setup. Visit moescateringfl.com.
As we welcome in Hacker, and you guys had about an hour to react to the news yesterday when Yannick Ngakoue announced he wouldn't be here.
Yeah, I mean, I can't say I'm surprised. I guess the one thing, Tony, that surprises me about the whole situation is that he actually showed up for a couple of days during OTAs. He holds the press conference where he said he's going to be a part of the team. They'll figure out the contract. And obviously somebody got in his ear. Something changed from that point to where we are now, releasing a statement yesterday that he would not be here. Obviously he was not here this morning. You just heard the comments of Jalen Ramsey. Jalen actually said something I thought was really interesting. I'm sure you've reacted to it since it came out, that he was basically told, or he and his representatives were basically told, that he will not be getting a contract extension this year. Not surprising necessarily, no. But to go public with that, you know, certainly great fodder for us on 1010XL, no question about it.
Oh, sure. What do you guys got coming up today?
Well, we're going to talk a lot about minicamp, obviously. We were all down there. And then 25 years of Jaguar football, we've been catching up with a lot of Jaguar greats. That continues today. Aaron Beasley, former Jaguar cornerback, who was a big part of this defense in the late 90s and early 2000s. Aaron Beasley will join us to kind of go down memory lane right around 1 o'clock.
All right, sounds good. That'll be fun to check in with the Bees.
Love Aaron Beasley.
Today on the program, so we'll be listening in for that, Hack.
Thanks, Tony.
All right, I'm sure they'll get into the NBA Finals as well. Extended to a Game 6 with Golden State, with blowing the big lead and then having to come back there at the end, but they do. They find a way to extend it to a game six, and the whole situation with Durant in front of those Toronto fans, not the best look.
Did you watch the game, Tony?
I watched the fourth quarter because that's when the Braves game ended.
Okay, well, that's really all that matters is the fourth quarter.
I saw all the, like, I didn't see the Durant fireworks when they happened.
Second quarter.
Obviously, yeah. But I did see the fourth quarter of the game last night. So, yeah, extended to a game six for them. That'll do it for us today here on Jaguars Today. Obviously, reacting to the Yannick Ngakoue news. I do find it funny. We got one on the text line right now. Some guy like, you guys are just talking about the same thing over and over. Dude, I'm doing a Jaguars show. All right, on the day after Yannick Ngakoue announces that he's not showing up for a mandatory minute, what did you think the show was going to be for 2 hours today? All right?
TV shows.
Yeah, like, what do you think we're going to do?
Cereal.
This is what we do. We got one big horse in this town. It's the Jacksonville Jaguars, and we got big news on that front regarding Yannick Ngakoue not going to be here, and we'll see if that means that a contract does get worked out between the two sides. As, again, I'll say it one more time. Of the 9 best sack seasons in Jaguars history, Yannick Ngakoue has 2 of them, and he's been here for 3 years. Calais Campbell has 2 of them. He's been here for 2 years. All right? The production they're getting out of that spot right now is historic for this franchise right now. I would love to see them find a way to keep this guy in the fold for the long term there along that defensive line. That'll do it for us. So for Hayes Carline, for Emmanuel Thalloran, I'm Tony Smith. We'll be back at it tomorrow right here on Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
Yo, Jacksonville, let's go. Two more!